court has before it, excuse me, the court has before it one matter for argument today. It is JW Power Company versus Wise County Appraisal District and Wise County Appraisal Review Board. The panel that will be hearing this argument, to my left is Judge Ruben Gonzalez of the 432nd District Court of Tarrant County, who is sitting as a visiting judge on this panel. To my right, Justice Brian Walker, and then I am Justice Wade Birdwell, who gets to sit in the middle because I happen to be senior at this point in time. But anyway, gives me an opportunity to talk a whole lot. So if everybody's ready, then we'll go ahead and have the case called, and then we'll start on up.
The court will now call JW Power Company versus Wise County Appraisal District and Wise County Appraisal Review Bond, O4. And may it please the court that Mr. Jeff Hansen will be arguing for the appellant, and Ms. Dennis will be reading the appellant. And for the appellate is Mr. Kurt Swiney, who's going to argue for the state.
Good afternoon, Your Honors.
It's afternoon, isn't it? I'm sorry. I'm on top of my game today, I want you to know.
May it please the court. It is an objective fact that the Wise County Appraisal District had no legal authority to appraise JW Power's inventory at issue in this case.
Now, your argument is essentially, based upon your briefs, almost a jurisdictional argument that somehow it's all couched in authority. Okay, but it is effectively an argument that Wise County did not have jurisdiction to assess taxes, and that as a result, the assessment should be considered to be void. It's kind of a subject matter jurisdiction argument. My question is, what in either the Supreme Court's decision concerning this statute or the statute itself indicates that this is a jurisdictional statute, i.e., it deprived them of assessing authority under the circumstances, as opposed to simply a choice situation?
Your Honor, first clarify, while EXLP and the underlying code in Section 23, 1241, and 1242 are the background, the basis of these claims are under Section 2525 for multiple appraisal and form and location. But to more specifically address...
I understand, but you're making the argument under the error correction statute predicated upon effectively an error in the authority that you're saying, that they didn't have the authority to do it. Therefore, the assessment that they eventually did, that y'all did not appeal, can be corrected under 2525.
That's not exactly what the argument is, Your Honor. Under 2525, it's not about the authority of whether for 2525 C2 and C3 are not about whether Wise had authority to appraise it in the first place. As a matter of law, they did not, according to the Supreme Court's decision in EXLP and the underlying statute in 23-1241 and 1242. But the claims under 2525 C2 and C3 are a correction of the appraisal rolls based on the fact that those appraisals, and irrespective of if they touch 23-1241 and 2, that those appraisals create a multiple appraisal for 2525 C2 and C3, that they are appraising property that did not exist in the former location, as noted on the rolls. And so that's not quite the same as the underlying fact that the appraisal district did not ever have authority to tax it, or rather to appraise it under 23-1241.
Okay. Well, let me... You sure spent an awful lot of time talking about how they don't have the authority. You just began your argument with they don't have the authority, so I apparently have mischaracterized your argument, so you may continue.
Yes, Your Honor, we do address that background pretty significantly and substantively.
I told you can't make that argument now that you've told me that's not your argument. What's going to happen to your argument, counsel?
So 2525C2 and C3.
Then make it 2525C2 and 3.
Yes, Your Honor. So 2525C2 is a claim or rather a protest vehicle for taxpayers when there is a multiple appraisal of property based on one or more appraisal districts appraising property. So here, and why the background of 231241 is significant is that dealers' heavy equipment inventory is appraised at a single value in the yard county. So the county where the dealer maintains its inventory, conducts its business, has its primary place of business. And for the property, for the inventory, the parts of inventory that were physically located in Wise County, that county is Palo Pinto. So JW Power completed its declarations to Palo Pinto, albeit not correct at the time. And JW Power makes no excuses for that other than it was done wrong and it was later corrected. But the inventory is appraised as a whole in Palo Pinto County. And despite the fact that it was not correctly reported or not completely incorrectly reported in those years, JW Power did go back and have those roles corrected with the Palo Pinto Appraisal District as part of the agreed final judgment in those earlier suits with Palo Pinto. So it was after that, those earlier suits were resolved, that JW Power realized that there were counties outstanding that still had incorrect appraisal roles that were resulting in multiple appraisals and appraisal of property that did not there exist in that form.
Counsel, real quick, just because I'm like seeing doubles and I feel like I just saw you, and I've seen you, Appley. How many cases do you have before us with you representing counties and Appley against the same council? Just out of curiosity.
Just the Jack and Wise cases, Your Honor.
Just these two. Okay.
Yes, there are somewhere around a dozen pending at the trial court, and I believe half a dozen at appellate courts around the state involving the same issues, but only two before this court.
Got it. Okay.
So when JW Power declared its property to Palo Pinto County, that was an appraisal. That's the only method of appraisal for dealers' heavy equipment inventory. It's self-appraisal under 231241F, and that was an appraisal.
So is there any qualitative requirement with regard to compliance with these two statutes to invoke the exclusivity aspect of these two provisions that you're relying on?
There's not, Your Honor. In fact, the opposite. The only way to have your property as a dealer excluded from characterization as dealer's heavy equipment inventory is if you specifically render it to another county. So that is the only way.
That's an option that you actually have under the statute.
Correct, Your Honor. Yes.
Rendition is a totally different animal. You can go ahead. In fact, you could have done that with Wise County. You could have done a rendition with regard to the compressors in Wise County under this provisions, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. So you're making a choice whether to comply by doing an inventory declaration that complies with the statute, or you just decide we're going to do this with regard to the individual counties pursuant to rendition.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. So that doesn't sound like a jurisdictional argument, but that doesn't really answer my question, which is and I'll do it by hypothetical this time. So if you tell Palo Pinto, here's our declaration, our inventory consists of one compressor, okay, which obviously on this record is incorrect, but is that sufficient to say that an appraisal is being done in Palo Pinto County on your inventory that effectively negates any other county's ability to assess and collect taxes on personal property that's in their jurisdiction?
Yes, Your Honor. With respect to the personal property that would qualify as dealers have equipment inventory, yes.
What is your authority for that?
That would be from the EXLP opinion from the Texas Supreme Court, Your Honor, that DHEI has a single value, and it is in that yard county, and it is based on.
The court doesn't specifically talk about how that gets invoked. It does make the statement that if the DHEI evaluation is invoked, that it is where that inventory is maintained in that county. It's not Galveston. It's Washington, or vice versa. I can't remember. But again, do the courts and do the taxing authorities, various taxing authorities, get to basically just, if Palo Pinto wants to accept your one, just ignore that?
No, Your Honor. And I think further language in EXLP does clarify and in fact, kind of foresees the issue we're in here and notes that if other counties were to appraise individual units of that inventory, it would create multiple or greater assessments of the property.
But you're before us on subsection 2, which is multiple appraisals. So if there is, and we know that record shows this, there's a compressor in Wise County that's never at the point of time that you're making your 2525 motion, it's never been presented to Palo Pinto for purposes of being a part of the inventory declared. How is that multiple appraisals?
Because it's an appraisal of an individual unit of the inventory and the inventory itself, which necessarily does require that individual unit is a part of that. Now, the yard counties.
What I see with that is then all of a sudden, if you're going to make a distinction between an inventory appraisal and an individual appraisal, then you need to make that distinction consistently, okay? If Wise County's not doing an inventory appraisal, then it's not a multiple appraisal. Wise County's doing an individual appraisal. It's not doing an inventory appraisal. So that gets me back to my question, is why are we going to credit your Palo Pinto appraisal, okay, as being one that cannot be duplicated with regard to the Wise County individual appraisal when the unit that we're talking about isn't part of both?
So, again, I think that's in part what the Texas Supreme Court foresaw, that it would create a multiple appraisal. But in addition to that, that kind of goes into the 2525C3 portion in that Wise County did appraise an individual compressor as conventional business personal property when, as a matter of law under 23-1241, it is dealer's heavy equipment inventory. So even if, the court takes the position that it's not a multiple appraisal for the reasons Your Honor laid out, it would still be an appraisal of an improper form of the property. And Wise, if anything, I suppose could have appraised it under the DHEI statute and valuation methodology, but chose not to, and instead appraised it as an individual compressor, which, as Your Honor and I just previously discussed, is only possible if JW Power had rendered the property there. So, again, and as kind of just pointed out, there's a little bit of overlap here. Wise, even in the circumstances where there might have been an individual compressor that wasn't previously reported or on the Palo Pinto appraisal rolls as part of the dealer's heavy equipment inventory, the statute provides a remedy for that. And the remedy is for the Palo Pinto appraisal district to audit the records of JW Power. The statute provides significant penalties that Palo Pinto County has the authority to impose on dealers of heavy equipment in order to assure compliance. If in the hypothetical that Your Honor gave, a piece of property suddenly falls out of classification or qualification as dealers heavy equipment inventory merely because it was not properly reported, that strips from Palo Pinto County, the proper county, the authority to impose those penalties, because now we're not talking about dealers heavy equipment inventory, we're talking about something else. So a dealer could just say, oh, well, that particular compressor isn't actually part of the inventory. You didn't have the right to tax it either. And now Palo Pinto can't impose those penalties. So in order to read the statutes together and cohesively, in order to provide the penalties and remedies available to the yard counties, it must be treated as a single inventory as required under EXLP. Briefly, as I know, the appraisal district is going to rely in some a great degree on res judicata. Section 2525L of the tax code specifically carves out an exclusion to claim preclusion or res judicata and the ability of taxpayers to utilize 2525C even if there was a prior protest in the year under Chapter 41, which was the case here. For each of these years, there was a prior protest, and suits were not filed, but 2525L carves out an exemption for res judicata for that purpose.
The Austin Court of Appeals in the Iran.
But
Iran.
So Dabney thinks it's Iran. Counselor thinks it's
No, I listened, and I'm not going to refer to the people of that county as Iranians, but in the Sterling and Iran cases, y'all were given an extension by the Supreme Court. I think it's this week or next week. You're going to file a petition?
Yes, Your Honor. Petition is due December 12th.
At the time of the first argument, you didn't know whether you had authority to do that or not.
So. We are, in fact, filing a petition,
Your
Honor.
Did not see anything else in any of the other counties? Are you awaiting decisions from other courts of appeals?
Yes, Your Honor. The only one that has been issued and was not appealed at this time was the Duval opinion, which sidestepped Rachel.
So we're basically the only game left in town other than the two that you're going to be asking the Supreme Court to take a look at.
Yes, Your Honor, another decision we just got out of Henderson, which will be appealed to the Tyler Court of Appeals in the next week or so.
County or Henderson, Texas?
Henderson County.
Henderson County.
Okay.
Briefly on those two opinions, Your Honor, Sterling and Iran, the Third Court of Appeals ignored its own case law in reaching that decision. J.C. Evans, Construction v. Travis Cadd, that same court had said that when a statute is designed to relieve a property owner of the harshness of forfeiture of appeals, it should be liberally construed to accomplish that purpose. 2525L is a statute that is designed to relieve the taxpayers from the harshness of losing the ability to appeal under 2525C.
Now, and this will be, I'll give you an opportunity to answer this question. There's a case that nobody cites that deals specifically with your argument about why 2525 can be used under these circumstances, even though subsection L says it has to relate to value. It's a case called Bear Appraisal District versus Wackenhut Corrections Corporation. It's out of San Antonio, and it specifically rejects your argument that and says that a protest of an exemption or a designation, and this is a designation case, is a protest for purposes of value, okay? And so you're invoking subsection L as saying, well, 4141 protests concerning value are not foreclosed under subsection L, but this opinion specifically says that's only subsection 1 and subsection 2 of 4141. And it doesn't have anything to do with designations, and it's citing the Dallas Central Appraisal District versus Seven Investments Supreme Court case, parenthetically, as a protest relating to designation of property is not a protest of appraised value, which was in 2018 affirmed by the Supreme Court in another case. So my question, and then I'll give counsel some additional time after you've had this opportunity to answer, is how do we not consider you foreclosed if we can't consider an improper designation, a protest based upon an improper designation, to not be a protest concerning value under the error correction statute?
Your Honor, the Again, I don't know that it's a, and I guess we addressed this at the very beginning, that it's not a protest regarding designation. It's about multiple appraisal and the form and location. And while the underpinnings of that are how this property was classified, the reality is that the classification is as a matter of law because this property was not rendered dealers of heavy equipment inventory. And it, just as a note, I believe Wise County's council will probably pass it out. There's some copies of the petitions, or rather the protests in the prior years. And each of them is the should be assessed as, should be valued as, you know, valued under 23-1241. And so, to that end, these are protests, even if it was about the classification.
But your argument that the value should be zero because it was improperly designated is indistinguishable from the value should be zero because we're exempt from taxation, which is what the Seven Investment case was about with regard to attorney's fees. So, anyway, counsel, thank you, and we'll pick back up. Add 2 minutes to counsel Wise County, please.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And given the fact that I ambushed you and counsel with regard to this case, it's 52 Southwest 3rd, 795, and it's a NOPET case. It's not directly on point. It deals specifically with 2525D, but the argument's essentially the same. So, and you have leave, if you will, to file something in response thereto, and counsel will as well.
It pleases the court, Your Honor. I apologize for my voice, and if I have a lingering cough, I promise I'm testing negative for everything important. This case is about whether the decisions of the appraisal review boards, a quasi-judicial body, are entitled to the deference of res judicata, and they are. It is about, if you get past that point, whether under Section 2525C, reporting a minute fraction of one's inventory constitutes reporting inventory as a whole and thus resulting in a multiple appraisal.
I take your first point, counsel. Why is a decision made which is ultimately determined to be an improper interpretation of a new statute by the Supreme Court? Why is that entitled to deference under the circumstances, given the fact that they basically, once they figured out the Supreme Court said that was the proper interpretation was, that's when they came and they wanted the opportunity under 2525 to fix the record?
It would be just like if a trial court heard, you know, some contract case and decided X way, and then in an unrelated case on the same issue, the Supreme Court reversed. If that original trial court opinion was not appealed, well, it's final. It's over. And so that decision is entitled to res judicata. In this case, the ARBs made the determination, as did hundreds of ARBs across this state, that these compressors were not entitled to treatment as dealer heavy equipment inventory. And JW Power failed to appeal those. Many, many compressor owners did file, did get orders, and did appeal, including JW Power in later years. And they did get relief. Now, were they entitled to relief on these compressors? Had they properly perfected their appeal? Probably. But they didn't perfect their appeal. That's the point. They let that decision become final. And if the decisions of ARBs are to be given deference, and they certainly should be, you've got to respect that. What's over is over. The policy of the law is to favor an end to litigation, not multiplicity of litigation. Give you just a practical example. I'm thinking off the top of my head, Your Honor. We answer suits on behalf of the Tarrant Appraisal District. We're not the sole counsel for Tarrant, but I think we answered something like 300, my firm, answered something like 360 suits this year for the Tarrant Appraisal District. There were tens of thousands of protests in Tarrant County. If every one of those were subject to review 5 years later because it was ultimately determined that something about that decision was wrong, well, I don't think I can hire enough attorneys to help me get that done.
The legislature has, in fact, provided for five-year review.
In certain limited circumstances, yes, sir.
Circumstances. So the mere fact that it comes 5 years after the fact, if those 10,000 or thousands meet the criteria for a look back, and that's what the legislature has dictated. So why does this not? Why does a look back under subsection L not apply under these circumstances?
Because, as Your Honor pointed out under the Wagonhut case, and frankly, I know about Wagonhut, I just forgot about it. But it's not about value. It's the same decision that was made by the 11th Court in the Reeves and Loving versus Midcon, or Midcon versus Reeves and Loving. I argued that case too. The underlying issue is not about value. Nobody put an appraiser on the stand that says, here's the value of this thing. Everyone knows what the value is, or they didn't dispute what the value is as computed as market value. They didn't dispute what the value was as computed as dealer heavy equipment inventory. The issue is categorization, not value. You can protest nearly anything under Section 4141, and that happens approximately 30 to 60 days after the annual notices of appraised value. If you're a homeowner in Tarrant County, I'm sure you got a rather rude notice this year. Mine tripled. I'm not in Tarrant, but
trying to recuse us.
I'd recuse myself, Your Honor. The vast, vast majority of those concern value. Nothing under 2525C directly implicates value. They implicate multiple appraisal. They implicate form and location, and may eventually affect what the taxable value is, but they do not in themselves concern value.
What authority do you have that indicates that form is not designation?
Yes, there's a number of cases cited in the brief. Dallas CAD versus GTE Directories comes to mind. ETC Marketing versus Harris CAD. Form means a specific type of property. Is it real property? Is it personal property? What J.W. Power here is arguing is that the legislature has departed from the jurisprudence of 49 states, the federal government, and every known code, and suddenly created a new type of property, dealer heavy equipment inventory. There are multiple types of property that have special appraisal. Ag land. We typically call it agricultural exemption. It's really open space appraisal. It's not a new type of property. It's just a new type of appraisal. Low-income housing. In some circumstances, homesteads. Park and scenic land. Airport. The list goes on. There are some special appraisal categories. That does not mean the legislature, again, has departed from the common law without any notice so much to anyone and said, in Texas, there's a new type of property.
Is there any, and I'm sorry, I'm just not recalling right now, is there any definition within the tax code of form? Location would seem to be pretty straightforward.
There's a definition of property.
But there's also a specific definition of inventory.
True.
And the specific definition of inventory, I think, is 2312, notes four specific exemptions, of which this one is one, dealer heavy equipment inventory, but then there's one dealing with boats and a couple of others. And I went and looked, and nobody's interpreted anything like this with regard to any of those three other exemptions.
Correct.
Not exemptions.
Special appraisals.
Designations. So are we just, is there the case law that says what form is limited solely to whether it's real property or personal property, even though personal property, there's tangible, intangible, et cetera.
Right. No, that's exactly right.
Which, now, of course, begs the question about whether you can have something intangible located.
Well, the intangible property is not taxable under the property tax code, Your Honor, so that's off the table.
Take care of that question.
But no, there's no indication that the legislature ever intended to create a new type of property, and every indication that form means is it real or personal property. I mean, that's 2502. That's multiple cases cited in the brief. Again, the GTE directories, the ETC marketing case comes to mind. It's a long history that is independent of whether there's a new statute on dealer heavy equipment inventory. The special inventory statutes are not new. If Your Honors or anyone has purchased a car since about 1990, you'll see on the sticker inventory tax. It was about the 89 session of the legislature that they started creating this hybrid between sales and property taxes. And the way it works is each month the dealer reports each sale. When J.W. Power argues, oh, it's just a unit, that's not true. The reporting forms each month report each and every property sold, or in this case leased, the amount it was sold, or in this case leased for, and pays a very small fraction of the tax based on that sale, or in this case lease. Again, that's one of the lines on your new car sticker. The accumulation of those monthly reports of the sales or leases is what makes up the inventory value for the next January 1st. And so if those compressor units, or whatever units they are not in fact reported to the appropriate appraisal district and county, unless that county exercises its audit functions, they're just not going to be appraised. And whether Palo Pinto County could have exercised its audit authority is beside the point. It could have. The fact is, it didn't.
Is there a distinction to be made, and I vaguely remember this from your brief, is there a distinction to be made? Because there are some overlaps. There are some compressors.
Two compressors.
Is it two compressors?
1 year, 1 month.
Okay. Were those solely identified as inventory on the January declaration with regard to Palo Pinto and then not any of the subsequent months? Goes back to my question with regard to opposing counsel, which is, to what extent, if any, do you get to demonstrate that you were being appraised in a DHEI county, a Yard county, based upon your compliance and your choice?
Right. I think.
And I know there's no case law on that.
Right. Let me qualify this statement by saying the res judicata argument is the silver bullet. I mean, this vampire doesn't get up once it takes that from an art. But if, in fact, there were no res judicata argument, and if, in fact, J.W. Power had done, as it swore to over 100 appraisal review boards that it did do, properly report, I think it might have an argument here for multiple appraisal. In this case, it was the August 2015 report to Palo Pinto County that it reported two compressors in that month only. Now, even then, Palo Pinto County did not put them on their appraisal roll because Palo Pinto CAD was under the same impression as hundreds of other appraisal districts that the statute was unconstitutional. And so even those two were not actually appraised by Palo Pinto CAD. And by the way, the comment that was made that they later made right with Palo Pinto CAD, I could say something about that, but it wasn't briefed. And so I would submit to Your Honors, that argument's been waived.
Is your statement with regard to Palo Pinto did not put them on their appraisal rolls, is that somewhere in the record?
What it is, if you look in the affidavit, which J.W. Power attached to its motion for summary judgment, it said, see here, we paid these taxes in Palo Pinto County. It lists out the properties they paid. And I'm not suggesting Your Honors go on this tedium, because it's many, many, many pages. But what is listed there are compressors that were actually in Palo Pinto County, general equipment, dirt, and other personal property, but not one compressor that was on the roll in YSCAD. In fact, the accounts which they attach are not dealer heavy equipment inventory accounts. So, yes, sir, that is in the record.
Okay, so that's your basis for arguing that if we do go ahead and avoid our sister court's decisions with regard to res judicata, we're now in a position, at least with regard to C2, of saying there's no multiple appraisals because there's no evidence in the record of an actual compressor going on to an appraisal role in Palo Pinto County.
That is correct, and that was the ruling of the Fourth Court in Duval.
During these timeframes, 2013 correct. To 2016.
Yes, sir. That was, and then that was the ruling of the Fourth Court in Duval, which did not reach the res judicata argument.
Okay.
I have a question.
Certainly.
With regard to, you're talking about res judicata, and this is a de novo review, correct?
Correct.
And if somebody made a, this is hypothetical, if somebody made a constitutional argument, couldn't they raise it at any point during the judicial review, especially if you're talking about hypothetically, this is a quasi-judicial system, right? Talking about the appraisal districts and CADs and what have you.
I've addressed that issue before, but not in these briefs, Your Honor. The answer is no. Even constitutional rights are waived if they are not timely advocated. And I'd be glad to get you some case authority on that.
In the context of a criminal court, however.
I understand.
You can raise that at any point.
I understand.
Court level, right?
Not so in the civil side. Again, I'll be glad to brief that issue. I did not address it here.
This is argument. I had a question. If it's in the... but. It does.
He's just trying to earn his money.
Well, I appreciate that.
Sublimely. You're over there talking, well, this is precluded. It just sounds like King's X. You're done.
Well, in a sense it is, but that serves the most important policy. Again, the finality of litigation. If we are just going to hold everything open for as long as possible, there's no room to litigation. Now, you know what? I'm in the business of defending governmental units from claims that are brought against them. You want to make that the law? It helps me. Kills my clients. Like I say, I'm not sure I can hire enough associates to defend those matters, but it's against public policy.
I appreciate you explaining that. Thank you.
Just to be careful, is sure. there anything that you see about the Wise County case that is a distinction with the Jack County case? Because we have Justice Walker's obviously on both panels.
Right.
But the Justice Womack and Justice Basil are obviously not on this particular panel. So is there some distinction between the two? And you know, it's Judge Smith made the decision with regard to both counties because those are both in his jurisdiction. But
I do not believe there is a distinction that leads to a legal difference. In Jack County, there was quite a few more overlap of compressors than there are in Wise County. If you look at the record, J.W. Power was unclear where it was reporting to Yard County. The Wise compressors, it bounces around. Sometimes they said it was Wise County. Sometimes they said it was Denton County. They finally landed on Palo Pinto County. And the bottom line is there's only these two compressors in 1 month. There were not a lot of overlap in Jack, but certainly more than two compressors in 1 month.
Was that true for all 4 years that we're dealing with here? That literally those two are the only two reported for 2013 through 2016?
That is correct, Your Honor. It's in Exhibit B, the appendix of the brief, but it's also in your handout here. I've highlighted in green where there was overlap. First page is what was reported to Palo Pinto CAD. Back page is what was on the roll in Wise County.
And that was consistent all 4 years?
Right. It was only
That represents right. the rolls for all 4 years.
Correct. Correct. It was only... like I say, in August of 15, they reported two compressors that were on the 2016 roll in Wise, which it's the 2015 reports that make up the 2016 appraisal.
Okay.
Now, and I'll tell you in candor, Your Honor, the district court in Frio County made that distinction. They said, that judge said that, well, the ones that you actually did report, even though they were only reported 1 month, we'll call that a multiple appraisal. That case is pending before the Fourth Court right now, which, of course, the Fourth Court is also the court that decided Duval. In Duval, there was no evidence of any overlap any time. Just as counsel mentioned Henderson, no evidence of any overlap any time.
So basically, if there's anything as far as the judge in Frio County and under consideration by San Antonio is, if there's any evidence that of the appraisal rolls of multiple counties having the same compressor
right
on those rolls, then that's evidence of multiple appraisals.
That is correct, Your Honor. That was the decision of Judge Wilson in that trial court. And in that case, the Yard County was Jim Wells, and Jim Wells did put the compressors on his dealer heavy equipment inventory, whereas here in for Palo Pinto County, Palo Pinto did not.
Why would that? Why was the judge in Frio County incorrect with regard to that?
Well, he was incorrect with regard to res judicata.
Okay, but barring res judicata, would that put us in a position if we decide not to agree with Austin?
All right.
And we've got these two that you've identified,
right,
that would be arguably evidence of multiple appraisals. Would that be a remand with, or would that be a rendition with regard to those two? Or
well,
do those two end up representing the entire inventory?
I think that those two do not represent the entire inventory. Cite the Bosky disposal case versus the Parker CAD. It is not what could have been appraised under a category or a nomination. It's what was appraised. My argument...
Well, and that's why I've been asking both of
right
you a qualitative statement right about compliance, because by changing the by changing the appraisal designation and the appraisal methodology from individual units to inventory, collective to a collective methodology, and by not giving us any instructions whatsoever with regard to this particular type of situation, okay, we're pretty much in the dark as to what to do with that kind of thing. Do the two constitute inventory because they were reported in Palo Pinto, and Palo Pinto is presumed to be the inventory, and therefore, you know, that's the problem that the legislature has created.
I mean, obviously, it's arguable. Again, Palo Pinto did not put them on the roll. There's no evidence of the multiple appraisal. Jim Wells did.
Well, but then what are you showing me on the those two are on the same? If they're not, they weren't on Palo Pinto's.
They were report. J.W. Power did report them to Palo Pinto.
Report them, but they were not actually
right
put on. They were
right
never actually appraised by Palo Pinto.
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, would it be a remand, say, go back and tell Palo Pinto to put these on the roll? I don't think that would be appropriate, but I mean, the truth of the economics is that's two compressors.
Not our jurisdiction. It's not like we can tell Palo Pinto.
I mean, realistically, two compressors aren't going to make this case turn. But again, my other argument is it's simply not rational to conclude that if you reported 1 month out of 12 that you've multiply appraised that property. It's 1/12 when, in fact, the overall reporting that J.W. Power did to Palo Pinto County was generally less than 1% of the reporting that it should have made.
Okay, and one final question to flesh it out.
Sure.
Let's say that they identified every aspect, every compressor in their inventory for all 12 months of the previous year for purposes, and they reported that to Palo Pinto, okay? But Palo Pinto never put them on the rolls.
Then there was no multiple appraisal.
So then there's no multiple appraisal, even though there is a clear attempt to invoke DHEI in a Yard County.
I mean,
no. So there's effectively no protection for the reporter under JWP under those circumstances in any other county that wants to appraise and tax.
They could have protested the failure of Palo Pinto to put them on the roll. And again, it's a perfection of remedies argument. They had remedies. They just chose not to pursue them.
Okay. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honors. And again, I apologize for my voice.
Not a problem.
May it please the court. Your Honors, regardless of the arguments made by the appraisal district, the fact remains that the appraisal district had no authority to tax JW Power in this case. I wanted to address a few of the arguments that have come before the court today and kind of address each in turn. As to res judicata, Your Honor, I'm not familiar with the case that was that you cited earlier.
Sure.
However, I believe you stated that in that case, the court found that the exemption from taxation does not equal a protest, a value protest for purposes of 4141. In this case, the situation at hand is not about an exemption. So an exemption would be taxable property in the county, but then there's a carve out for a specific reason, whether it's a business kind of development reason, homestead comes to mind. But in this case, it's not about an exemption. The property was never taxable in Wise County, so an exemption wouldn't apply. So without reading that case, I think it is distinguishable for that purpose. JW Power is not seeking an exemption. It was never taxable in Wise County.
It could be taxable in Wise County had JWP decided to do things by rendition and rendered to Wise County whatever compressors were in Wise County, okay, which JWP had the option of doing. So Wise County has the authority, general authority, to assess personal property within its jurisdiction. The only question here is how they're going to do it and what effect do we give to the exclusive remedy that's available to the taxpayer through the DHEI designation. And so, you know, that's not an exemption. It's not identified, but it is a designation because it's a methodology of determining what the appropriate tax liability is under the circumstances and to whom that tax liability is owed. So I understand your authority argument, all right? The question is what we do with it. Does it actually constitute a valuation error that needs to be corrected, okay, or is it something else? And the case I cited suggests and actually holds that unless we're talking about an excessiveness of evaluation or an unequalness of evaluation, then we're not talking about valuation. If we're talking about methodologies, something of that nature, like this, or a designation, we're not talking about value. And it cites the Seven Investment case specifically for that proposition. So I rambled, I'm sorry.
That's okay. If I could address that, Your Honor. In this case, the appraisal by Wise County, it was on a business personal property basis, not a DHEI. So there's a different taxing scheme. I think in the briefs it's noted that it's not full market value for DHEI. It's a 12th of that. So there is an incentive for dealer heavy equipment inventory businesses to go under that particular scheme. And so it is addressing value in that way because Wise County put it on the roll for BPP value rather than DHEI. So if Wise perhaps would have put it on their roll as DHEI, then that maybe is, you know, a better argument in their favor. But because it's under BPP, it does relate to value. The protest is seeking the value to go from the BPP value to a lower value under a DHEI or no value in Wise County in this case.
Well, but the thing is, and using this analogy, if you can assess a motor vehicle, okay, and treat motor vehicle as the personal property, and then all of a sudden pickup trucks, we're going to set up a different methodology for assessing pickup trucks. It's still a motor vehicle. so that even if it's DHEI, it's still personal property. And the question is how is it going to get taxed? And it requires a proper compliance with regard to the yard methodology. And I still don't have an answer to the question of whether or not that requires complete compliance or not, but I don't think I'm going to get one. So anyway.
Yes, Your Honor.
Close it up.
Just thank you, and we ask that the court reverse and remand on this issue.
All right. Thank you so much. All righty. Thank y'all, counsel. Case is submitted, and we appreciate the assistance that y'all have given us. And hopefully we have not been too rude, although I'm sure I have been, and I apologize if I have been. But anyway, thank y'all so very much, and y'all have a good day. We'll see y'all later.
Thank you. All right. The Honorable Court of Appeals for the Second District of Texas now stands adjourned.